children. What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to Mask's weekly radio show on Family Matters. Mask, Mothers and Fathers Alliance Saving Kids. Kids of all ages and all stages for mental health issues, including addiction, school issues, any issues that you want to speak about, to discuss, getting a referral, feel free to call the Masks helpline. It is confidential from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. And our number is 718-758-0400. If somebody would like to get a free training and free naloxone kit for prevention of opioid overdose, feel free to call us. We could arrange for a training in your home. You can call us. We can meet you. You can pick it up at Mask. We can make arrangements for you to get that free training and free kit so you have it. Every household should have a kit so that if somebody maybe is visiting you over the holiday season now, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, you never know, they may need it, and you can be prepared to save a life. So feel free to call Mask. Maybe it's for yourself, a friend, a neighbor. Maybe it's someone you sit next to in shul. Our confidential number, let me give it out again, you may want to write it down, is 718-758-0400. Tonight we have with us a very dear friend and colleague that I've been working with for many, many years, and I'm happy to welcome on our show tonight Rabbi Meir Kessler, the founder, the director, the everything behind the Jewish Recovery Center in Boca Raton. I'd like to wish you welcome you actually on tonight. How are you, Rabbi?
Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. Thank you so much for those beautiful words.
Well, it's always nice to be on with you on the radio and also to work with you with families in recovery. And Rabbi Kessler has been doing this for more than 14 years and going strong. Unfortunately, there are so many families struggling with addiction. But Baruch Hashem, there are so many agencies and so many askanim out there besides Mask that all of us are trying to help those that are putting out their hands, their hearts, to get help. And Rabbi Kessler is one of those people that is always available when somebody calls. So, Rabbi, I'd like to talk about first, if you can tell our listeners again about the recovery center that you're involved with, please.
So we run the Jewish Recovery Center in Boca Raton. Boca Raton happens to be a hot place for people that are recovering. As a result of that, a lot of Jewish people come to Boca Raton to get healing. And to help those that are there, we provide oasis, a place where people can get their spirituality and their religious needs met while they're in treatment, getting clinical help for their addictions. That's an overview of what we do.
Right. And Rabbi, I know that every year you have this amazing, I'm sorry to put the word amazing, but it is amazing for those that are in recovery, that there is even such a conference. And I'd like you to share, please, about that as well.
So every year, and before Pesach time, we put on a recovery retreat for those that are afflicted or are celebrating their recovery. to come together and work together as one, try to break the stigma of addiction, and talk about their issues and helping each other, getting better in the spirit of camaraderie and fellowship. We bring down many speakers, many rabbis that are involved in recovery, many clinicians, people that have many, many years of sobriety that can share their experience of recovery, newcomers that are getting involved, family members that have been touched by others, by their family in addiction. And now we've opened up groups, S groups and Al-Anon groups, and it's been a tremendous success, good and bad, but we've had the biggest year ever this past year. And Baruch Hashem, people are at least getting their needs met while afflicted with addiction.
Yes, very, very hard times now before the holidays. Before any holiday, it's a hard time. And we're so close to Rosh Hashanah. It feels like minutes away to me. And Yom Kippur and Sukkot, and that's a lot of days for those that are struggling or and in recovery, whether they're addicts or they're sober. But the spiritual piece can, you know, be complicated at these times around the holiday time. So I'm wondering if we can touch on two things. Number one, so what do parents do? Their children are all home family members, and maybe somebody's coming, a relative, a child, a spouse. There's so much alcohol around the holiday. You know, we make Kiddush, if there are going to be 20 meals coming up over the next month, formal dinners, then there's going to be 20 times that we're going to be making Kiddush, at least. And then there's Simchas Torah coming up before we turn around. I'd really like to talk about how we can protect our homes for the guests or family members that are struggling. And then I want to talk about those that are listening that are struggling and what they can get from this radio show from you, please, about reaching out, whether it's to your program or programs locally, wherever they're living, whether it's Chabad or other. So let's start with the first one. We're talking to parents and hosts that are listening about what we need to do to prepare for the Yontif for anyone that is either sober, recovering addict, or an addict that may be joining, please.
Okay, so in the past, like Pesach in the past, we've instituted here in Boca Raton that every table should have an alternate grape beverage, a non-alcoholic grape beverage on a table, a grape juice, etc. And not to offer alcohol to people around the table, just to leave the alcohol and the wine on the table, and those who take, take. There are a lot of people that fall prey to peer pressure. If they're alcoholics or they've decided they want to stop drinking wine or they shouldn't be drinking wine, there's a lot of pressure if there's on the table and the host is offering wine. It's very hard for a lot of people to say no. So we've instituted here in Florida that every table should have grape juice on their table, and not to offer people to avoid people uncomfortability of saying no. Short of that, there is no, you know, people should be more sensitive if there are alcoholics or there's young people at the table that shouldn't be drinking alcohol. They have a propensity to become to abuse the drink. So that's something that people can take into consideration. Not everybody's lucky enough to participate in a recovery program for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. I know that there's a beautiful program that's hosted and run by Madre Goda in New York and here at the Jewish Recovery Center in Boca Raton. There's a specific Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur services that are geared to the recovery community with their meals. The holiday meals are geared to the recovery community, but not everybody has that luxury to do that. So they should take into consideration that could be guests or family members that have come back home to celebrate the holidays that could be suffering or dealing with some issues, and they should take heed of that.
very important, really very important. Also, the issue of going to shul, you know, we go to the synagogue, many more hours in many synagogues, longer praying, longer davening. So we need to take that also into consideration, that not everybody could stand in the shul if they're struggling. We don't know what everyone is struggling with around us. And we need to realize that it would be a good idea to be prepared at home for those that cannot stay all day in shul, that may be struggling. Any ideas, Rabbi Kessler, please?
To keep it short and sweet, what should I tell you? Over here, we try to condense it and make it interesting so people don't feel like they're being sitting in a place where they get edgy, and try to make an interesting service that relates to the recovery person. But that's not a problem necessarily for the recovery community or alcoholics. It's a problem for everybody. They just can't sit in shul, they get edgy, and they want to leave.
Right, absolutely. But what we suggest at Mass for families that do know that their loved ones maybe can't sit the whole day, mm-hmm. or may want to go to a 12-step meeting, mm-hmm. that's very important. A lot of these young people must get to their 12-step meeting every day. Maybe they're doing 90 meetings in 90 days, right? So,
yeah, that's a great idea. Mm-hmm.
Right. So if they say they're going to a meeting, then that to them is their, you know, to help strengthen between them and God. So can you touch on, for those that don't know about the meetings that I'm referring to, can you give a little bit of an explanation, please?
Well, the AA meetings, what goes
yes.
on there?
Right.
So for those that are suffering or not only suffering but are celebrating or enjoying recovery, one of the ways that keeps them sober is by participating in fellowship groups where they can help others that are coming in that are new to the process, or they themselves just need to share about what they're going through, and it allows them for staying stopped or continuous sobriety. I know when we did our retreats, we always had an alternate program during davening. One of the programs that we had was Why Am I Not in Davening? Because a lot of people have a hard time with prayer and rabbis, and it brings up a lot of triggers and a lot of things that go on, so they can process why they're not in shul. We had that at the retreat, and it was a very well attended, to say the least, a very well attended group. So you know, a lot of people feel that they have to go to shul because for the wrong reasons. So that would be a good idea for them to get their to go to an AA meeting, maybe during some of the prayers or any other fellowship. That would be something very nice to do, to get a comprehensive day of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, a day that deals with Yiddishkeit and a day that deals with their spirituality as well. Not to say that Yiddishkeit is not spirituality, but it's a different mahalach, a different gang, a different schnitz, a different place to get a different need filled.
Which Rabbi Dr. Tversky always says that it's so important, the 12-step program. I know a lot of people have a hard time when they hear about it, let go, let God. They don't all connect, you know, to the step, 12 steps. But once they go and they give it a few times, a few, you know, meetings, then they really get to understand it. And Dr. Tversky says it is the best thing to hold on to in one's life when one is celebrating their recovery and learning to be in recovery. So for those that are struggling, and your children, your loved ones, your spouses, whomever, yourself, it's important to go to those meetings even during Yom Tov. So there are ways you can find out where a closest meeting to you, you know, is. You can go online, you can look it up, you can call Mass. We can try and help get you to a meeting closest to wherever your loved one may be. Rabbi, can you talk a little bit about your recovery center over Yom Tov, what you're offering and what really goes on there, please?
So there are many people that are down here now that are in treatment, different facilities around South Florida. And Rosh Hashanah is coming, and Kippur is coming, and Sukkot, Shemini Atzeres, and Chatzar are coming, and there's no, as much as they want to help, they really can't bring a Tishrei to somebody and while they're sitting in treatment. So we work together with the different treatment centers and collaborated with them where they bring over patients to our sober home and to our Shabbos home where they can celebrate the Chagim with us in the context of recovery. Some of them have to go back because they're not ready to just spend the night. Some of them are allowed to spend the night with us, and we have a home specifically for those that can spend the night. And furthermore, there are people in our vicinity that have long-term sobriety, and they consider themselves members of the Jewish Recovery Center. So when we do services, when we do davening and minyanim, they come and participate. So you have newcomers that are in treatment and old-timers that have many years of sobriety that come together and daven together and have the Sudas Yom Tovs together. And it's a beautiful time for people to celebrate Yom Tov in the context of recovery. We were speaking about Rabbi Tversky before, who I just got finished meeting in Eretz Yisrael. May Hashem bless him with a refuah shleima.
Amen.
And to have kreches and chayes to continue to inspire us all.
Amen.
One said that the reason, you know, you can daven as much as you care to, or you can learn as much as you care to, how come it doesn't necessarily help the alcoholic, the one that's afflicted with the disease? It doesn't work. The program of Alcoholics Anonymous is one of the ways that it works. And he explained that the program is like, as a life, if people would believe that Torah and Mitzvah is a life and death, in other words, if they wouldn't do a mitzvah, they would actually die spiritually, or they would sever their relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It would work much easier. This program of Yiddishkeit would work, but people don't realize that it's mamish life and death. Masha Enkein, on the other hand, when you're going into an AA meeting, drinking is life and death, so it works much better. If we would leave Torah as v'chai behem, that we're living by Torah and Mitzvah as really v'chai behem, then it would work. But unfortunately, we don't necessarily understand that, feel that. But in the program of AA, we really believe that it's a life and death situation, so it works much easier. He once explained that to me.
Well, it's hard on people that are not addicts to understand sometimes the way the addicts are living their life, even when they're celebrating recovery. And it's so important for family members to get that education, just like if they were ill with diabetes or anything else. So I'd like you to please give chizuk to the parents that are struggling now this Erev Yom Tov. Their kids, their loved ones maybe won't be going to shul, their loved ones may be not coming home, their loved ones may be still struggling, and not in the 12-step program. What chizuk could we give to the parents to give them that hope that tomorrow could be a better day for these children? We need to start with today, one day at a time, for them as well, maybe.
Yeah. Right, so not only the parents that are crying for their children, you have a lot of children that are crying for their parents today.
Yes, thank you.
Tremendous increase in parents and fathers and mothers, for whatever reason, the disease manifested itself later on in life. And we see a tremendous increase in 35 and 40-year-old married men and women that are in treatment today as well. And to them I say, and they're crying that they want to be with their children for Yom Tov, and they're crying that they want to be home for Yom Tov. To them I say that you give up one Yom Tov and one period of time where you can work on yourself so you can actually be there for many more Yom Tovim, happy and healthy. So sometimes the Eibishter gives us a challenge, but you're able to see the light at the end of the tunnel. And the reason for the darkness is Yisrein Ha'orim and Achoshech. The light that comes as a result of a darkness is a much greater light. So not only would it be like it was before, but during the process of treatment, during the process of breaking yourself and making yourself humble and making yourself vulnerable, a much greater person emerges with much more potential, and he or she becomes a better father and mother to their children as a result of not being there this young.
There's so many families.
No, that's fine. And so it's true the other way, that a child that's sitting in treatment, a brother, a son, a daughter, that goes through treatment and it feels very dark. But the truth is, if they take the treatment and they follow the simple directions of treatment, and again, they humble themselves and they make themselves vulnerable to appreciating what the therapist and what their sponsors tell them, as a result of this process, when they come home and they acclimate themselves back into the world, they're much better people, and they live a life beyond their imaginations and beyond the mother and father's imagination that could ever have happened. We've seen it over and over again, where people who come in broken, or even before they came in, they were living half-measured lives, and they were living in the gray area. They were just doing just enough trouble not to get into complete trouble. They were just living on the edge, what they call functioning alcoholics or functioning addicts. And as a result of breaking and as a result of going into treatment, they now live a much better life than could ever have imagined before.
So I did want to bring up what you brought up is about parents. We have so many parents that are struggling. And yes, it's something that we all need to realize. It's not just children, but it is parents as well. And there are excellent treatment centers that we can refer you to, including Rabbi Kessler, for transitioning out of the treatment center, his recovery, Jewish recovery center. But I want to, before we run out of time, time's starting to move really fast, there's so much to talk about on this topic, but I want to talk about Sukkot. Sukkot is coming up also before we turn around, and the Simchas Torah, and that's when the wine and the alcohol is unattended in shuls, in synagogues, at home. There are parties, and I'd like you to really speak to the listeners, let them know how important it is about this holiday and being sensitive to those that are struggling and celebrating. Whether they're in recovery or still struggling, please.
Mm-hmm. So this is not a small-time issue. A lot of people don't understand the gravity of this disease, and people tend to turn the blind eye to it, engage in wishful thinking, or put their head in the sand as they celebrate some Simchas and Sukkot in their house, and there's flowing of alcohol, and the best alcohols, the age with the best amount of years, or whatever casks they're in. Rabbis need to understand when the alcohol flows in their synagogues and there are people that have issue and use as a result or drink as a result of the flowing of alcohol, if the atmosphere is an alcoholic atmosphere where it's just flowing, they can literally kill people as a result of that. They need to take into consideration that amongst the congregants, there are those that are suffering, that are wavering between life and death, and this can take them off the edge where they can chas v'shalom, and I'm not trying to exaggerate or engage in hyperbole, literally die as a result of this. And so too, when you're throwing a party at home, you should be cognizant and careful that it's done in a measured approach and done with seichel and b'hagbola, limited, and just understand that there are a lot of people out there that you could affect l'toiv or chas v'shalom l'ra. So we should be very, very careful when throwing these big parties that have that sort of atmosphere.
Right, and like you said earlier, Rabbi Kessler, is that when somebody's coming to a party, and maybe some chas Torah party, and you're going to say, come, like, make a l'chaim. Somebody will offer them something, and they say, no, no, thank you. I'm going to have a cold drink. Let's all remember not to ask them a second time, because there are so many people that cannot drink, whether it's because of intake of alcohol or not mixing with meds or even, like I said before, being a diabetic possibly, and they can't mix their meds with alcohol. So let's be very conscious, respectful, empathetic to those that are struggling with whatever mental health issues, and let's you offer somebody one Simchas Torah, possibly, if you know that they are shouldn't have alcohol, please don't offer them at all. And even if it means having many bottles of grape juice around, do it. Do it for that one person that you could possibly save, that they don't drink, taking meds, or being, you know, struggling with, you know, counting their days of recovery, etc. So, yes, Rabbi Kessler, it's so important that we be conscious, real conscious. But I do want to bring up one more thing, and that is, I mentioned it last year, I mentioned it the year before, and I'm going to mention it again now, and that is, I remember walking down my block, passing my shul, Shabbos afternoon, it was Shalosh Shuddos, it was before Shalosh Shuddos time, and the basement windows, I don't know what, why it caught my eye, the shades were open, and there was a man on the floor in the basement of the shul. I could see it through the basement window while I was walking by, and we called Hatzalah, and it ended up, it was a kiddush after lunch, and the shul did not lock up the alcohol. And this man got in got in there in the afternoon in the shul. It was all unattended on the table, and he had alcohol poisoning. And that was the end of that story. And it wasn't a good ending. So please, whether it's in your home or in your shul, please appoint somebody to take care to lock up whether your shul has alcohol in it, Simchas Torah, every Shabbos. I'm not advocating that you should have alcohol at all in the shul, but that's not my position to tell you to or not to. I suggest not to have a kiddush club, but it, whatever the case is, everybody should be responsible to lock up the alcohol, whether it's in your home or in your shul. Okay, Rabbi Kessler, so what's the good word before Yontif? How are we going to close up with a message of hope?
First of all, I want to thank you, Ruchama, for all the great work that you've been doing for all these years. You've been a trailblazer and an amazing resource to the community, and I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Thank you.
I want to wish everybody out there, Ksiva v'chsima toiva, gutke ben shior. We shouldn't have to suffer from this. Both myself and Ruchama should be out of business.
Amen.
Speedily in our days, and let us all say amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rabbi Kessler. I want to wish you, your Rebbetzin, your family. I want to wish all my listeners, Aksivach Simatova, everyone, if you need a referral, please call MASC 718-758-0400. If anyone wants to speak to Rabbi Kessler, feel free to give me a call, and I will make sure that he gets to speak with you. I want to thank you, Rabbi Kessler, for always being available for those in need for in the recovery world, and Bechlal, your wonderful program, and everyone in your community. I know you all, you and the Rebbetzin, do so much for so many. Thank you again for being on tonight. And I just want to wish everybody a very good evening, a wonderful Shabbos, Ksiva v'chasima tova, and always remember, hang in, hold on, hug tight. Thank you, and have a good night.
ShopRite or McDonald Avenue in Brooklyn, Avenue I, is the place to go for your shopping needs and Yom Tov favorites. Your Prize Plus card saves you money every day all year long. ShopRite or McDonald Avenue is open 24 hours a day for your convenience. A Shana Tova Umatuka, a happy and healthy sweet new year from ShopRite of McDonald Avenue and Avenue I in Brooklyn.